The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
At this time, I want to officially welcome all of our viewers that are watching either live or by the rebroadcast of this, that'll be watching either by Facebook Live or straight from the app, or maybe on Rumble or YouTube, or whatever platform you may be joining us. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today, we got a good one lined up today. It's a very encouraging word. It's going to give a lot of hope in a very distressing time that we're in right now. But before we get started, as always, I want to encourage you to get the app. If you've not downloaded the free app, it's available on Apple and available on Android. It's our official ETH app. You can find it again. If you're listening to this and not watching, just simply go to your Apple store, or your Android store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo, download our app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be notified of every news and headline from a prophetic perspective, as well as our latest podcast that you can watch or listen at your leisure. It's the best. This is the best opportunity to keep up with our ministry and not miss anything that we do. I always tell people, don't rely on social media outlets and networks, because many of those are suppressed, they're censored, they're taken down, and so on and so forth. I know many of you guys have been praying for me for just different things. I'll give you an update at the end of this thing, but I want to be respectful of your time. If you want to stick around at the end of the broadcast, I'll give you an update. Praise God. But till then, let's get after this subject today. I want to talk about this. Is exciting to me. I love talking about stuff like this, and we're going to talk about this. This is a headline that came out on cbnnews.com. If you're watching this live by Facebook, I'm going to read this to you, this excerpt. I'm going to give this to you. If you are watching this by the rebroadcast, you're going to see the video of this that we'll put up directly from cbnnews.com.
Fire at night and confuse Russian troops. It has some asking, are Ukrainians receiving heavenly help? On this week's episode of The Global Lane, CBN's Ukraine director explains, although his fellow countrymen are showing incredible strength and resilience in the war with Russia, they're also seeing some divine intervention.
How have you seen God intervene on behalf of the Ukrainian people? What do you know? What can you share?
Well, I can share that one brother shared an audio from a brother from the church. So he says that his son, he's a part of the military, and he was saying that that they were like in a dark night they were holding their positions, and they've discovered that that a lot of Russian Federation tanks and machines coming at them, and they might struggle defending themselves. And he picks up his phone and he calls his father. He says, "Dad, you have to pray right now. We're in a situation." So his father, he rings to other members of the church. They start praying. And then later, son gives a phone call and he says, "There's some miracle happened. It looked like some spaceship, like there was like an attack from the spaceship. There was some kind of a lightning was starting shooting from the sky, and like sparks were spreading everywhere." And then in the morning they discovered that the whole machinery was destroyed. So they, like all of those soldiers, they thought maybe this was done by some kind of a weapon that we didn't know about, or it was just God's intervention.
Wow.
So, and there was another occasion that we just got from our friend that we know in person. We were praying that they would start resisting each other, that enemy would resist the enemy, because we know there were several biblical occasions like this, you know, that when God was doing this. And another part of the Russian army, they occupied one little town, and they've removed flags from the town's government buildings. They attached those flags to their tanks, and they started to ride. And eventually, at the dark in the evening, they met the first group of the tanks. And so they thought they are enemies to each other, and they started shooting into each other.
Finally, then, I just want to know, how should we pray for you, your family, other CBN workers there, and the people of Ukraine? What should we pray?
Well, please pray that we could hear God in this time, you know, that we would be able to have the most deficit thing in the world, like in our country now. It's the peace in our hearts, that our God, who is the Prince of Peace, would grant the peace in our hearts, and that in this condition of the peace, we could just see the ways how we can build the kingdom in the times of war, that we could be the light and the warmth and the love and the hand of God to other people who in need. Because some of us stay in Kyiv, some of us stay right outside of Kyiv, some of us took our families across the border, and men stayed there, and like we all want to be the hands of God. So pray that we would be active members of body of Christ in this time, you know, that we would not just sit and be afraid and full of fear for our lives, you know, that we would be productive in building the kingdom.
And that is why today I want to talk about the subject of, is God sending angels into Ukraine? Is God sending angels into Ukraine? Quote, are Ukrainians receiving some heavenly help in the fight against the Russian invaders? Now, I want to preface this by saying this, because I understand we have a vast diversity of audience. We're going to have Putin sympathizers, and we're going to have Ukrainian sympathizers. We're going to have people that believe that Putin is the good guy in this, and that he's carrying out a mission and I don't want to go into details of that, but we all know, if you read forums and you read blogs and you read social media outlets, there is a divide in this between there's a camp that believes that Putin is the good guy, and Putin is simply ridding Ukraine of corruption and pedophiles, and the list goes on. Okay. But then you've got the other side that deems Putin as the aggressor, as the warmonger, and so on and so forth. So today I'm coming to you not picking political sides, not picking Russia, not picking Ukraine. I'm coming with the intent to show you that when innocent believers who are crying out to God, despite what side they're on, let me say that again. Because listen, there can be believers in Russia and believers in Ukraine. In fact, did you know, many of you guys don't know this, but Ukraine is one of the locations that has a huge populace of Christians. Now, is there corruption? Sure. Is there pedophilia going on? Sure. Is there child sex trafficking going on? Sure. Is there corruption going on? Sure. That's anywhere. Hello. That's big time in the United States. But it doesn't mean that there's not Bible-believing, God-fearing, Spirit-filled believers in the United States. I'm going to tell you this. Even in places like North Korea that's communist, or China that's communist, and that is ruled and reigned by tyrants, there is an entire group of, there's a remnant there of the underground Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church that knows how to pray, knows how to touch God, knows how to touch heaven, and they see miracles taking place. So that is what I'm targeting today. That's what I'm focused on today. So if you can't get past the political side of this or the agenda side of this, that you may perceive that I'm trying to throw out here, then guys, you're never going to receive what I'm trying to share with you today, and you will not be encouraged. But if you can look past that and you can respect the word of God and know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, then you're going to receive this word today, and you can apply this today, because what God is doing here God can do in your home and in your family and in your nation. Let's show you this first. Here is six verses of scripture. I'm going to put these up on the screen. If you're listening to this by podcast on Apple or Spotify, let me read this to you. This is, if you get your pencil and your pen, if you want to take notes, write this down. Exodus 23:20, Genesis 24:20, Psalm 91:11, Psalm 34:7, Matthew 18:10, and Hebrews 1:13-14. Now, let me expound on these. Exodus 23:20. The word of the Lord says, behold, I send, this is the Lord speaking to the Israelites. I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place I have prepared. Come on. Did you know that you and I have angels that have been assigned to us that God sends in our way? Did you know the Bible says in Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. One of my favorite scriptures. Do you know how God does that? He puts angels in your life. And when you pray and ask God for direction and ask God for guidance and ask God for clarity, God sends angels in your life to lead you, direct you, and prepare the way for you. Exodus 23:20. Genesis 24:40. Here is Abraham who sends his servant out to find a wife for his son Isaac. And listen to the revelation he has in Genesis 24:40. He said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. This absolutely agrees with Exodus 23. So you hear, you have angels that were with the children of Israel. By the way, they were manifested by the cloud by day and the pillar by night. They were bringing the children of Israel manna or angel food to sustain them in the wilderness. And these same angels that brought the Israelites out of captivity of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land, are still showing up in Genesis 24 when Abraham is seeking out a wife for his son Isaac. These same angels are still directing, still guiding, and still leading and prospering the way in which they're going. Then you have Psalms 91, verse 11. And it says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Again, that's Psalms 91:11. Guys, I encourage you to memorize all of Psalm 91. Quote it, pray it, meditate it, decree it. Come on, 1,000 may fall at thy side. If you want to know something to pray for someone in the heat of a war or battle, pray Psalm 91, 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Psalm 34:7, listen to this. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And the Hebrew word encamps here means he sets up base. Oh, come on, somebody. Did you know? Listen, if I'm talking to all my Bible believing, blood bought, born again, God fearing believers on this podcast today. Listen, did you know that God has put angels around your property? He's put angels around your family. And they are in camp around you. They're with you when you rise up in the morning. They're with you at midday. They're with you when you're on your way to work. They're with you when you're going about your business. They're with you when they delivered you out of a car accident that you should have been killed in. They delivered you when you should have been mugged and robbed and stabbed in a back alley. They delivered you out of a situation that you could have not been delivered out of with natural assistance. But God God has heavenly assistants and angels watching over you and delivering you in all of his ways. Matthew 18:10, and this is an encouraging word for everyone who has children and grandchildren. Take heed. The Lord said, take heed to not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, they're angels. I said, they're angels. Always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Translation is this. God has assigned angels to our children. And I believe with all my heart that when you're born into this world, those angels are there with you and they're assigned to you your whole life. So, in other words, I'm 45 years old. And the angel or angels that God has assigned to me when I was a little boy and when I was born into this world, they're still here and they're still with me and they're still protecting me and they're still guiding me and they're still leading me all the days. Come on, goodness and mercy shall surely follow you all the days of your life. So, oh, come on, somebody, you need to be encouraged today that no, when you listen, when you raise up in the morning and you send your children out to school and you send them on their way and you lay your hands on them or you pray over them or you decree over them like Job did to his children each and every morning when he went about his day, when you begin to pray and you plead the blood of Jesus over them and you declare the word of God over them and you decree the promises of God over them. God has his angels of the Lord that are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation that are watching over them. And you and I may never know how many times those angels have intervened in our children's and our grandchildren's lives and protected them and kept them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody give the Lord a come on. We're going to have church today. I know some of y'all like the information podcast, but today I feel like having a revelation podcast. I feel like encouraging and equipping some believers today because we got a lot of bad news in the news today. We've got a lot of things that are going and darkness is abounding, but come on, there is still hope in the land. Hebrews 1:13 and 14, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Listen to this. He's speaking about angels here. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Listen, God has angels already prepared for, come on, that lost heathen of a husband that you're praying for. God has angels already assigned and waiting for that coworker that you've been believing God for and praying for, that the moment that they're born again, all of heaven rejoices and God gives them an angel of the Lord to watch over them, protect them, and keep them. Come on, this is exciting news today. But now I want to shift gears and I want to show you examples in the Bible that is going to confirm the reports that we're hearing out of Ukraine. Because if the God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's the God who changes not, then if God did it in times of old, then I believe God can do it today. Come on, can I get a witness today? So we see another, here's an example in 2 Kings chapter 19. The Assyrians, which is today Syria, outnumbered the camp of Israel. And in all natural numbers, they were going to take out Israel. There's no way Israel could have defended themselves in the natural. They didn't have the weaponry. They didn't have the infantry. They didn't have the numbers. They didn't have the strength. But in 2 Kings 19:35, God sent one angel. Somebody say one angel. Here it is, 2 Kings 19:35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and slew in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses laying dead. Oh, you didn't hear me today. I said that God, all he had to do, listen, the Israelites were crying out and they're saying, God, what are we going to do? We're outnumbered. Oh, we don't have the military power. We don't have the strength. We don't have the weaponry. We don't have the infantry. We don't have the strength. The odds are stacked against us. And God said, it's okay. You've been crying out. You've been praying. You've been interceding. I'm just going to send not a legion of angels. I'm not going to send 300 angels. I'm not going to send 20 angels. All I got to do is send out one angel. And one angel went through the camp of Assyria and wiped out 185,000 troops. My friend, all God's got to do is send one angel in your life and can give you a breakthrough in whatever circumstance and whatever tragedy and whatever situation is in your life. Come on, this is powerful. Listen to this. Then we see in Daniel chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. I'm just going to read this. So the king gave command and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Come on, y'all know this. You learned this in Sunday school. But the king spoke saying to Daniel, listen to this quote, your God whom you serve continually. I love this. The king said this to Daniel, not Daniel to the king. The king said, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Listen, what kind of witness did Daniel have of God's supernatural power that a king who didn't even serve God at that time was looking upon Daniel's life and saying to him, come on, I have seen God move in your behalf. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, I've seen God do supernatural things in your life, Daniel. I remember when you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego requested that you would not eat the meat and the wine and the delicacies that I was serving. And you said, test us for 10 days and see if we, our countenance will not be brighter and it will not shine forth and we will not have more wisdom than all the men of the land. And I tested you. I did your request and you and God proved you through. Then I remember your three friends were cast into a fiery furnace, and when it was all said and done, there was a fourth man that showed up that looked like the Son of God, and their clothes didn't get burnt. They didn't get scorched, and they came out not even smelling like smoke. So I'm pretty confident, Daniel, that even though these men, because you can read about this in the book of Daniel, those men that the king had around him in positions, they tricked the king into coming against Daniel. And the king said, I'm confident to know that the God you serve may not deliver you, should deliver you, could deliver you. He said, no, I know he will deliver you. Come on. It's pretty sad when we got more faith from unbelievers than we do in the camp of so-called believers. Did you know there's going to be people that are watching this and listen to this today, and they've been convinced by false teachers and false prophets and watered down doctrines and doctrines of devils that has taught them that God does not move in the supernatural today. They have taught them that God doesn't heal today, that he doesn't deliver today, that he doesn't raise the dead today, that there's no angelic assistance for believers today. And because of that, they have been left hopeless. But I come by to tell you today that my God does not change. Only believe and you shall receive. So listen to this. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. And now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him, and also sleep went for him. By the way, in case you didn't catch it, this king is a closet believer. You can't convince me otherwise. This king, I believe, has already made up his mind that he is believing and putting his faith and putting his trust in the God of Daniel. There's no, he wouldn't be doing these things if he didn't. And that's why he's making these statements. Now listen to this. Now, when the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, no musicians were brought for him. Also, his sleep went from him. And then the king arose very early in the morning and went to haste in the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God," listen to this, guys, "sent his angel." My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. And this supernatural event again was done by angelic assistance. One angel came and shut the mouths of the lions, and it validated Daniel, and it solidified the king's faith in the God of Daniel. And come on, what the enemy intended for evil, God turned it around for good in Jesus' name. Genesis 19:11, we see a story where Lot and his family are in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, this don't feel too bad for Lot, because Lot made this choice on his own. When him and Abraham were walking together, Abraham gave him a choice. He said, "You choose where you want to go." And Lot chose the cities of the plains, because it was well watered, it was flourishing, and it looked good. Come on, there's a message right there. Just because it looks good, just because it sounds good, and just because it feels good, don't mean it's always a God thing. Hello, that's another message for another time. But in the end, Lot moved his family into Sodom, and then he planted himself into Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Sodom and Gomorrah got into them. And then the cries of the people, of the remnant, was going up before the Lord because of the evil and the wickedness that was taking place in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plains. And God sent angels into the city to confirm what was being cried out through intercession and reported into the heavenly courts. So God sends angels there. This is the backdrop of this. And those angels showed up at Lot's house, and they delivered Lot by striking these men with blindness that was trying to break down the door of Lot's house. Then we get to Genesis 19:12-17. I want to read this to you. And then the men said to Lot, now these are angels, do you have anyone else here? Son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city. Listen to this. Take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. Who was going to destroy the place? The angels of God. Who commissioned them to do it? God himself. For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against him has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But to his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. Now, this is a sad testament of the condition that his sons-in-laws were in. Remember, guys, many times our haste decisions can cost our family in the long run. This is a practical message for this. Let me say that again. Sometimes our haste decisions, we don't pray about it, we don't fast about it, we don't seek counsel about it, and because it looks good, it feels good, it sounds good, and we get emotionally on emotional high over it, and we jump to it, and we make a decision, later on, that decision can come back to bite us and our family. And here's what we see here. Because of Lot's decision to move his family into Sodom and Gomorrah, and later on, when he said to them, hurry up, we got to get out of here because God's getting ready to destroy the city because of the wickedness of the city, his sons-in-laws looked at him and said, are you kidding me? You're the one that told us to uproot our family and to move here because it was a good place, because it was well watered, it had a lot of vegetation, it had a lot of entertainment, had a lot of good restaurants. Hello. And therefore, now you're telling us to get up, get out of here. So they looked to him as he was joking. And when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot and said to him, arise, take your wife and your two daughters. Notice he said, your wife and your two daughters. Why? Because they were the only four out of the entire cities of the plains that would heed the warning of God and that were considered to be righteous in that situation. So the angels of the Lord said, you need to get your wife, you need to get your two daughters, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. Guys, I want to stand on the rooftops and preach that. There is no gray area in this. This is black and white. The angels of the Lord, listen to me. If you don't get anything out of this, listen to this. The angels of the Lord were assigned by God, Elohim, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were sent to destroy the cities of the plains. And these angels told these righteous men and women of God, they said to them, listen, you need to get out of this area lest you be consumed by punishment. In other words, we are not going to bring judgment on the righteous and the wicked together, but God is designed to make a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. I don't understand why Christians can't get this to their skull, because even after hearing this and seeing these parallels all through the Bible, they will still insist that we as believers and we as righteous sons and daughters of the Most High, we will still be consumed in judgment. We will go through the wrath of God and we will see this poured out on us. No, listen, you are welcome to do it. But if the angels of God showed up to some of y'all are so hard-headed that if the angels of God showed up in your house today, in your city, and said, hey, get your stuff packed, and get out of the city because I'm bringing judgment, you would probably have a theological argument with the angels and say, well, you know, God's going to purge the bride, so I'm going to choose to stay here and go through the purge and go through the judgment. No, thank you. So listen what it says. And while he lingered, the men, and we know they're angels, took hold of Lot's hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out. Oh, I said they brought him out. Oh, I want to tell you today that God has angels that can bring you out of what you're in. I don't know what situation you're in today. I don't know what circumstance you've got yourself into today. I don't know what kind of diagnosis the doctor's given you. I don't know what kind of report's been given to you today. I don't know how bad it looks. The odds may be stacked against you. The court may be stacked against you. The bank may be against you. Come on. Devils are against you. Church members are against you. Your family's against you. Your co-workers against you. You're an impossible odds. But friends, come on. If you've got God on your, if he be for you, who can be against you? Because he's got angels at his disposal. That if you'll begin to cry out night and day for deliverance, man, I feel the Holy Ghost working all over me today. If you'll begin to cry out, the Bible says in Luke 18, it speaks of a widow woman and an unjust judge. And the Bible says that the persistent widow woman, even though the judge would not avenge her, she, because of her continual persistence, she cried out night and day. The unjust judge became weary and said that he must bring this woman justice. You read it, Luke 18. The Lord says, hear the testimony of the unjust judge. How much more shall the Lord avenge? Come on, those who cry out day and night, even so, he shall avenge them speedily. But it says, but when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I need to get some believers today. I need to get some spirit-filled, come on, Bible-believing believers today to begin to believe with me today for supernatural in your life, supernatural intervention today. And that God wants to, listen, some of you, he's waiting on you. He said, I'm just waiting on God. No, he's waiting on you. He wants you to come into agreement with him. If any two shall agree on touching any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. So the angels took this family's hand, this righteous, God-fearing family that was in the midst of a city full of wickedness, debauchery, and evil. And I just feel a check in my spirit. I want to tell you. And you say, well, Ukraine's got some evil things in it. Yeah, listen to me. You're missing the point. There may be evil in the land, but there's a remnant in the land. Sodom, if we judged Sodom, if we judge Lot and his family based on Sodom and Gomorrah, we would write Lot off as, come on, as a Sodomite, as wicked, as abominable, and as a sinner. But the Bible says that Lot was vexed by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked that he was surrounded with day in and day out. He was a righteous man in an evil city. And I'm telling you, there is, based on this report and CBN, if God indeed is sending supernatural help, it tells me that there is a righteous remnant of believers crying out in a wicked place. Oh, come on. Listen to this. Ooh, and while they lingered, the angel of the Lord took them out of the city and brought them outside. And so it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, listen to this. The Lord, the angels look and said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed. I'm going to read one more story and then we're going to pray. And I know exactly, and I was thinking about today what to pray about in this segment. And I feel like the Lord just dropped it in my spirit just now. So we're going to pray. Come on, is this good today? Are you getting anything out of this? Let's go to the New Testament. Acts. Let me get a drink of water real quick. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read there in verse 5. Acts 12, excuse me, in verse 5, I'm going to read there. All right, this was, Peter was put into prison. But listen to this, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. That's the key, guys. Constant prayer was offered by the church. And when Herod, excuse me, sorry, guys, I've been dealing with a lot of sinus stuff going on. And when Herod was about to bring him out, why? Because he was on death row. They beheaded James with the sword, and Peter was next in line. So they brought Peter out, They were about to bring him out that night, and Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. And now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. I said, an angel of the Lord stood by him. Listen to this. And an angel shone in the city, or in the prison. Listen to this. And the angel struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying to him, listen, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel of the Lord said to him, gird yourself, tie on your sandals. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. Verse 9. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, quote, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hands of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I want to share with you a personal testimony of my own life, of what I know was an angelic assistance. Many years ago, some of you guys who are long-term partners of our ministry, you've heard this, so bear with those that are new or newer and that have not heard this. But years and years ago, probably about 21 years ago, and the first year that I was saved, I got saved in 2000, so it was in the first year I got saved. In fact, it was actually, if you want to be honest, it was probably within the first 3 months I got saved. I was a baby Christian with my diapers on and still drinking the milk. But I loved God, and I had much zeal and passion and fervor for the Lord. And I was seeking the will of God for my life. I remember, I want to take my time and share this, because this is going to give God the glory. I was working at a place in Louisville, Kentucky at that time called UPS Logistics. And it was a computer software company. They did chips and they did parts and components for different computer manufacturers. And I was working there. And I remember I was on my lunch break. And while I was on my lunch break at that time, they still had newspapers that were in there that people could read. You could read the newspaper. And I picked up a newspaper, and I was sitting with all my coworkers, and I picked up this new newspaper. And on the front page of the newspaper was a local story, and it talked about how a man was going northbound and blew a tire, lost control of his car, went over the median and struck an oncoming car in the southbound lane and killed himself and and four other individuals in this accident. And when I read this, for whatever reason, it just really burned in my heart. It really, it burdened me. And I began to share it with people. And I said, man, I was like, you know, check out this story. It just shows you that. And I quoted scripture, and I said, you know, the Bible says that your life is but a vapor. You can be here today and gone tomorrow, just like that. We don't know. You know, it could be over just like that. And I remember I was sharing with this with all of them, and it was just all day long, this was on my heart. And I remember I got home that night, and I was at that time, I was roommates with an individual who I credit to leading me to the Lord, my wife and I, to leading us to the Lord. At that time, it wasn't my wife, but leading us to the Lord. And I was in the apartment, and it was the friend of mine, and it was my wife was there, and there was a couple other of our friends there, and this was still burdened in my heart. So I began to talk about it to them, and I'm thinking to myself, I remember I walked away as I shared this with them. I walked away, and I was like, why am I still talking about this? Because we hear about this all the time. You pick up your local newspaper, you read your local headlines on your phone, you watch the local news, and you'll hear about this all the time. accidents happen, tragedies happen. It's like, and I hate to say this, but we almost like we become desensitized to these things because they become normal. But for whatever reason, this had gripped my spirit and my heart, and it would not let me go. So, I prayed about it. I said, well, Lord, am I supposed to pray for maybe for the families of those? So I did everything I knew to do, prayed, went to bed. The next morning I got up. Now, I got up early that morning and I was rushing to work. And so I was praying in my car on the way to work, like many of you guys do. If you were to be honest, you do it all the time. Let's be honest here. So I'm in my car. And I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm on Highway 65 going northbound. In my prayer, I'll never forget this. I hate to admit this, but I drove a 1992 red Nissan Sentra. Now, this was an automatic, and it had the old, y'all remember the old, I call them old cars now because you don't see this anymore, but they had the emergency brake in the middle with the handle, and you pull up the emergency brake right there on your console. This was an old 92 Nissan Sentra. It was the first car I ever got because I was fairly young back then. And I was going northbound, and I was praying in the car, praying for my day, praying for my family. And the last words out of my mouth, Father, I pray that you would send your angels today to watch over me, to protect me, and keep me from any harm, danger, and disabling accidents. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, literally 20 seconds later. Now, remember, I'm going 65 northbound. There's four lanes north, a median, and four lanes going south. Many of you guys in Kentucky, if I got my Kentucky folks on here, Ohio, you'll know what I'm talking about in that area. Within 20 seconds of praying that, I blew a tire in my car. All of a sudden, I started fishtailing, losing control of my car. The momentum and the force, because it immediately shoved me to the left. Remember, I'm northbound, but it shoved me to the left going towards the southbound lanes. I was pinned against the car like this. I could not gain control of the car whatsoever because of the momentum and the force that was happening. At that very moment, I remember I closed my eyes because I thought it's over. It's done. It's gone. I'm going on to be with the Lord. It literally felt like 5 seconds went by. The next thing I know, I'm opening my eyes. And I look around, I look out my windshield of my car, and I realize that I realize that I am now on the very opposite end of the highway. I'm in the southbound lane highway median all the way over in the grass. Now keep this in mind. I have went from the farthest lane of the northbound lane, went four lanes over the median. And by the way, it wasn't a flat median. It was like a dip, like a ditch that went down. Went across all eight lanes of the highway. I'm now in this, I'm like this in the southbound lane median over on the side of the grass. And the cars, I'm watching cars go this way, four lanes going towards me, but I am safely over in the lane. So I know that's the first thing I noticed. The second thing I noticed is, my God, I'm alive. I mean, my heart's racing out of my chest. And I realized, it's not a dream. I'm pinching myself. I'm like, I'm alive. I grabbed the steering wheel. I'm alive. I lived through this. How in the world did I live through this? Because this was in rush hour traffic. Do you know how many cars are going left and right, southbound and outbound and northbound lanes in rush hour traffic? And I'm sitting there like freaking out. And all of a sudden, a car comes flying up behind me, pulls over. This guy gets out of the car, runs up to my car. He taps on my window. And I rolled down my window. I'm still kind of shaking. And he said, he's like, brother, you okay? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm good. And he said, can you move? Can you get up? Can you? And I said, yeah. I was like, I'm fine. I got out of the car. And he said, man, he said, I don't know. He said, that is the most incredible driving skills I have ever seen. And I'm like, what? He said, that was some impressive driving skills that I just saw right there. I said, what do you mean? He said, dude, he said, I watched the whole thing happen. He said, I was behind you in the northbound lane. He said, I saw you blow a tire. He said, I saw you fishtail go over the median. He said, and then you turned your car. He said, there was cars coming right at you and you turned your car and missed this car. And then you, I don't know how you did it, but it's like your whole car, you must have maneuvered your car somehow or braked it or juked the brake and dodged the car that nearly almost hit you and took you out. And you got all the way across and didn't hit a single car. I said, brother, I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I had my eyes closed and I didn't even have my hands on the steering wheel. He said, what? And I said, I didn't do any of that. And he, listen, and just like, oh, come on, somebody, just like Daniel's, the king looked at Daniel and he recognized God had a part in that. This man, I don't know if he knew the Lord or not, but he said, man, somebody's looking over you. And I said, you're right. And I knew at that time, listen, that God had supernaturally protected me. And about the time we're having this conversation, a police officer pulls up. They come over and they said, are you okay? Yes, I'm good. And they looked at my car. They said, well, let's look at your car. And they said, well, your car's undrivable. And I said, why? And I didn't even look at it. All the back two of my tires were completely peeled off. Like if you were to take the tire and the rim and just peel it off, that's what kind of force was happening. The force of the car, of the momentum of it throwing it across eight lanes. It just peeled my tires right off. And listen to this. I looked inside the police officer said, well, we're going to take you in the car and we're going to take you back to your house. And I said, okay, I appreciate that. And he said, we'll set up, you know, we'll get all of your insurance. We'll get a tow truck and we'll get your car taken care of. He said, if you got anything in the car, go ahead and get it and come with us. I said, okay, now listen to this. So I opened the car door and I get into the car to get my stuff. Because I was, again, remember, I was on my way to work and I looked down and remember I talked about this, the brake that in the console, y'all guys, you push the button and you pull up the brake. The whole brake console right there was crushed. It looked like literally like someone had taken a boulder or something and just crushed it. And I looked at it and I stood there and stared at it forever. And the police officer made the comment, was like, are you sure you're okay? And they looked at the console and they said, the force of your body against the brake has crushed the console. Look at it, it's broke, it's shattered. And I didn't have a bruise on my body, no scratches, no bruises, no broken bones. And I went home. I remember the police officer took me home. I got in, and at this time I was still living in that little apartment. I called Melissa, my wife. At that time, we were engaged, but we were not married. And I called her and said, look, I just wanted to let you know that I was in an accident. Don't freak out. I'm okay. So she was upset, but everything was good. I called her. And I remember I laid in the bed. Oh, come on, Barry, share something. Then we're going to pray. I laid in the bed and I began to thank the Lord. And I began to say, thank you, Lord. You didn't have to spare me today, but you protected me and you kept me. And I thank you for that. And guys, I'm going to listen, I don't really care if you believe me or not. What I'm about to share with you and tell you, some of y'all ain't going to believe it, but I don't care. It don't matter because it didn't happen to you. It happened to me. So I could care less. But I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a blessing to somebody. But I'm laying in the bed and I promise you, I heard the Lord speak to me, and I don't mean an audible voice like this speaking. It was right here in my innermost being. The Lord spoke to me and said, yesterday, when you were compelled to read that headline and read that story about that man who was in a car, who was going northbound, blew a tire, fishtailed, went across all the lanes and was killed. And I said, y'all, yes, Lord, I remember it. Because it, guys, it was 24 hours later. And so that was on my mind. So I knew what he was talking about. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, I have spared you this day. My hand has spared you today, because the reason why you were compelled and you were burdened to hold that story like you did is because, listen to this, the Lord spoke to me and said, the enemy attempted to take you out and to take your life. And he was showing to you how, he was revealing to you how he was going to take your life and he was going to attempt to kill you. But God spoke to me that day and said, but I have kept you and I have spared you this day because I have called you to preach the gospel to many, and I will raise you up and you will be a voice. And my friend, listen, look at that. I wish you could see that. Every hair on my body standing up. Guys, I begin to break down and begin to weep before the Lord. Because guys, I'm telling you, when God shows up like that, I'm telling you, I don't have to have a pen and a paper to write it down and document it, because it is stained in my very being. And I'm telling you, that was the day that I knew God had called me to preach and witness to those who, even to this day, come on, I hear him speaking to me right now and saying, even this day, even now, is a product of why God had spared me over 20 years ago in that accident, because he knew this very day I would be here today and be helping somebody on the other end of this microphone, on the other end of this camera, and let you know that many times, this is where the prayer's coming in right here. Many times the enemy has tried to kill you. You have been through hell. You have been through things that you can't even talk about. The devil's trying to kill you. He's trying to take you out. Come on. But God has intervened. God has spared you. God has protected you, because he still has a purpose for you and a plan for you, and he is still in your life, moving and working in your life. Don't give up hope. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. But come on, stay in him, stay in the kingdom, and keep pursuing. Come on, repent and come back to your first works. And the other, listen, the other half of this prayer, and we're going to pray here, it's for some of y'all's got family members in the military. Some of you maybe have military members of your family that have been deployed in this mess going on right now. Some of y'all's got children that are into all kinds of drugs and alcoholism and dark things, maybe witchcraft or sorcery. Some of y'all's got a husband that's strayed, a wife that's strayed. You've got circumstances and you're like, I don't know what to do. I've come to my wit's end. Oh, I got a word for you. And here's what you're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do what the church did when Peter was locked up in prison and he was about to be beheaded on death row. We're going to do what the saints did when Daniel was put in the lion's den. We're going to do what Lot, a righteous man in a wicked city, did. He began to cry out night and day. We're going to pray. We're going to intercede. And we're going to ask God for, come on, heavenly assistance to deliver us from the temptation and whatever that you and I are facing right now. So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I need every single person. Come on, if this is a word for you, I don't want you to spectate. I want you to participate. I want you to begin to open your mouth. I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin, come on. I see a mother right now that is crying out for her son, and she's crying and she's travailing. Tears are falling down your face, and you're saying, Lord, I believe your word. heard today. I believe that the angels of the Lord are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. And if God did it for them, God can do it for me. Come on, just begin to cry out today. I don't know what your circumstance is today. I don't know what your dilemma is today, but God does. God sees it, God knows it, and He's waiting for you to begin to cry out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up every individual today under the sound of my voice. Lord, I lift them up. I lift their household up. I lift their family up. I lift their co-workers up today. I lift their neighbors up today. I lift you up, whoever they are standing in the gap for today. I lift up service members today, people on the police force, people in the military, people in the Air Force, people in the Navy. I lift them up. I lift them up in Ukraine. I lift them up in Russia. I lift them up in Germany. I lift them up, and I come into agreement with those that are crying out for intervention. God, people are in anxiety today. They're in depression today because they don't see any way out. But God, I thank you that you said that we have heavenly assistance at our disposal. God, if you could send one angel into the enemy's camp of Assyria and wipe out 185,000, if you can send one angel into the lion's den and deliver Daniel, surely, God, you have angels at your disposal that you can send to deliver and to break forth for your people today that are crying out and travailing and interceding right now in Jesus' name. Come on, and God's people said amen. Come on, do you receive this today? Do you receive this today? Come on, listen, you need to share this with somebody. Share this with the person that's always giving you flack about our podcast. Well, I don't like that. It's always gloom and doom. Well, here you go. Here's your message that you need to give them today and say, Brother Ricky's not all about gloom and doom. If you'll just give him a chance and listen today, I believe the Holy Spirit's got a word for you today. Come on, I want you to share this today. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right there on your screen. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to download your free podcast app, or your app, so you can get the podcast. Sorry, download the free app. It's available, Apple, Android, all the headlines, all the podcasts. Listen, watch, and it's free. Download it today. As always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. Listen, we'll give you an update on me physically. Some of the stuff you guys have been praying for me about. But hold on. If you guys want to know more about how you can support this ministry, if this ministry on a weekly basis is a source of encouragement, equipping, information, revelation, transformation, or all the above, you can support this ministry two different ways. And it's easy. You can give electronically, and you can give through the app that's right there. It's the most convenient way. Or you can give through the website, endtimeheadlines.org or .com. Or you can give by check or money order. And again, that's Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Again, that's our physical mailing address for those that wish to give in by check or money order. Listen, many of you guys on Facebook at least will know this. I don't do this often, but I requested yesterday for you guys to keep me in prayer because I have been dealing back in November. Our family went through COVID and it hit me right here from my neck up. It was all right here. Didn't have any stuff with my lungs, no digestive stuff. It hit my sinuses like a hammer, like a battering. But just, I mean, it took a toll on my sinuses. My ears were clogged up and my right ear went on several weeks and then finally opened. Then got over that. Come on, this is the story of a lot of our lives in the past 2 years. Then got over that. And then several weeks ago, got another head cold. And again, right ear clogged up and it's been going on for several weeks. Did everything I know to do. Nasal sprays and nasal rinses and decongestants and this and that and the list goes on. So yesterday I just said, you know what? I don't do this often, and I always encourage our believers and the believers that are watching us and our partners. I always encourage them to pray and have people come to agreement for their needs. So I said, I'm going to ask you guys to pray for me and come into agreement with me that my ear will open. So listen to this. To God be the glory, today I woke up and it was stuffed up again. It's just, it's frustrating. It's aggravating. So I began to do the normal routine, whatnot. And then finally, come on, somebody, breakthrough came today. The ear started cracking. It started popping. I did the whole hold your nose, do your mouth. And my right ear popped open. Now, here's what I'm believing for. Praise God for the breakthrough. But two, I'm believing it's going to stay open in Jesus' name. So when I go to bed tonight, wake up, it's going to stay open and remain open. But nevertheless, guys, listen to this. 24 hours later, after I asked you guys to pray and intercede for me, the breakthrough has happened. And I give God the glory and the honor. But here, and you say, well, that's swell and that's great and good for you, Brother Ricky. But listen, you're missing the point. Listen, what God did for me, he can do it for you. This is the takeaway of this whole message today, is there is power in agreement and prayer and in numbers. God is waiting on you and I just to come into agreement with him. That's what he's doing, guys. And he will open his heavenly disposal and he will move heaven and earth. Come on, for us who believe in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, we're going to sign off for today. Guys, don't forget to subscribe, hit the push notifications, hit the bells to be notified. Share this podcast, this broadcast, this Facebook broadcast with everyone that you believe will be blessed and encouraged by this. We love you guys. We'll continue to pray for you. Again, thank you so much. All of our supporters, our partners, our prayer warriors, thank you so much for, I could never express in words, you are the backbone of this ministry. I just want to let you know that you are the backbone of this ministry, because I'm telling you, we could not do what we're doing if it was not for your partnership and your support and your prayers on a weekly basis. So we're going to sign off for today. Have a great weekend. Have a blessed weekend. And we will see you guys back on Monday. Until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. And may his countenance shine upon you. In Jesus' name, God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.